Accession number 20893, Reel 2.
This is Kolchinska, Reel 2.
In Leeds, when I did the training, it did help me to get into the Civil Nursing Reserve. And I was mobile. I was registered from Wakefield City Authority as a nursing assistant nurse in the Civil Nursing Reserve. And I did over 3 years. I'm happy to have received the Civil Defence Medal, be one of the recipients of the medal, which I only got recently, and I was happy about that. Not that I did anything special, but we did come through the Blitz. Before the Blitz on London, we were having some bombing because there was Vauxhall, turned over to munitions. There was Skefco with the ball bearings. There were the Luton hat trade with all their machines turned over to uniforms and that sort of thing. And there were other munition works. I can't remember the name of the firm, but it was well known at the time. And so we had cause to fear the bombers, a lot of them also unloading their bombs on their way back from London and Coventry and those sort of places. We also even had German fighters coming down and machine gunning women running with their children and their babies to the shelters through their back gardens.
Where did that occur?
That in Luton. And those casualties came into the Luton and Dunstable, and the bombing casualties. but the when the Battle of Britain started, we got the overflow from London, because the fires and all the damage and the casualties from those. The hospitals couldn't cope in London, and they were having to clear out the day after a bombing. They had to clear out what the patients that they could move in order to have beds for the next night, because the raids were happening night after night, and we got the overflow, a lot of the overflow, and we were on duty and on call all the time. And if we had got up in the night after bombing and after these people had been brought to us or anything, we had them lined up in the corridors, nowhere to put them. And the doctors would go down and look at them and say, so and such a ward or the theatre or that ward, children's ward or whatever, and or just say mortuary, all these they'd say on their way past these stretchers. And I remember particularly a lady coming in who'd been suspended in a bath. Her house had come down and she was left in the bath, and the firemen and firefighters got her out, came, brought her, and all she was concerned about was that because she was naked, she was so worried about that. And another lady who came in very, very badly injured and brought with a two-year-old child. In those days, the children had to go to the children's ward. They didn't have to stay with mothers or anybody else. So the child was taken to the children's ward. The mother wasn't expected to live, but the child didn't have a scratch on her. She just sat in the corner of the cot in a heap, staring into space, wouldn't eat, wouldn't do anything, wouldn't look at us. And after 3 days, she just died. And the mother actually lived. But I never forgot that. That upset me. And it still does. It's just one thing amongst many, but it still upsets me.
Do you think the child might have lived if she had been allowed to be with the mother?
Could have. The child didn't know what had happened. And the verdict was delayed shock. And of course there was no treatment, no time to do anything about delayed shock much with all that was going on. Some of the girls who came in from the what had been the hat factories in the uniform came in just full of needles. There were some shocking cases there.
The
needles were blown out of the machines into their bodies. And
did you have to remove needles from
the victim? I didn't know. No, I didn't do that. But I had the care of them. And doing some of the dressings and that sort of thing.
And they were from hat factories?
There had been hat factories turned over to producing uniforms and other things required.
Can you tell me about this Civil Nursing Reserve, what it was, please?
Yes, we were mobile, if we could be, and we were expected to go where we were sent. But I was already in Luton, having moved down there to try and earn some money. And actually, I did manage to send a bit of money home from that when I got into the hospital. Because I just managed with very little. We were on duty so long. Anyway, there wasn't time to spend much. And I sent a pittance home, that's all. I'm trying to think what we got. I think we got, a bit later on when I lived out, we got £2 a week and uniform provided. That was, I think, a little less, but the probation nurses were very jealous of us because we were getting more than they were, and they were doing the training. And I could understand them feeling that way. But however, back to your point, which was...
Were you conscripted into the Civil Nursing Reserve?
I was conscripted, but not into the Civil Nursing Reserve. But I was aged to be conscripted.
So you were conscripted into the munitions factory?
I just presented myself, and I presented myself at the hospital as well for the Civil Nursing Reserve. And then I had, was the matron or whoever was in charge at the interview put the necessary forms through to the authorities to enrol me.
But then were you not a volunteer rather than a conscript?
We volunteered for what we wanted to do. And if you didn't want to do anything, you found a reason why not. I had a friend who married her boss because she was too precious to him for him to allow her to go. It wasn't a very happy marriage. She was a great deal older than she was, but it kept her out of the forces or whatever else she would have been. But you could choose what you want.
And did you have some kind of distinctive emblem or uniform to show
yes.
that you were in that?
Oh, yes. It was an Air Force blue colour gabardine coat for outside wear. And it was... with a red trim and hat, red trim on that Air Force blue tie, and it was we had a tiny badge. Indoor uniform was for assistant nurses was white, a white rather rough twill type of heavy rough material. not nice cotton, and it was all white, and it crossed at the back with ties
and tape.
Sort of no attached to it, see, to bring and like a belt thing, but it wasn't buckled like a state register nurse or anything, and it was all a part of the thing, and then with this here. And we would wear a white apron over it if we were doing heavy, dirty work, sluice room work, because we didn't have disposables then. You had to do everything, clean bed pans and all the lot of it. And that was all done by the lower ranks in the profession, probation and nurses, or we did it. And that was, and a cap that folded into three, it was like a triangle, and it buttoned at the back, and just a little revere there, a bit like a maid's cap. Then the auxiliary nurses, they wore a uniform striped, there's a picture of one probation.
Yes, but we can't see anything.
No, no. And theirs was slightly different type of uniform. And they had A-N on there. It was sort of embroidered on the front. It said it was an auxiliary nurse. And we worked, you see, there with probation nurses who were training and sisters who were state registered. And we're just part of the ward team. I was moved from there to Knaresborough. The bombing had subsided. I was moved there to Knaresborough on my request. Well, I was moved north on my request to be nearer home to help my mother a little. Because my father was... well, he just died before that, and she hadn't been able to work. And there was no income coming in because... my father hadn't been in the Lloyd George scheme, and when he had a stroke, he wasn't able to work. She wasn't able to work because she had to push him around in a wheelchair. And I had a younger brother and sister still at school. My older brother was serving abroad in Egypt. He sent a small allowance, which the government gave my mother on condition that he sent an allowance as well. So he hadn't got much left because he had to send this allowance to her, and then she could get a little allowance from the government. Well, I asked to move, but I couldn't get any nearer than Knaresborough at the time, and that was at the Scotland Bank's it was a sanatorium for TB, and children were evacuated from Hull because of the bombing in Hull, and they were TB orthopaedic cases, and they came to us there, and emergency huts were put up to accommodate us and the children, and at least I could get home on my day off and see my family and take what I could spare, and that again was very hard work, and I was heartbroken with some of these children, the cases of these children who were on what I call Bradford frames. They were curved like an arc, with feet down, head down, and middles up. And and also calipers of the leg things, some of them could walk a bit. And some of the girls, we three girls in there, such lovely looking girls, aged 17, 18. And they were going to die. Most of those children were going to die. And these girls were on these frames at night, but sometimes could see they'd humpbacks or terribly ulcerated, limbs or backs where the flesh was eaten away right down to the bone.
What was their complaint?
TB orthopaedic.
So they had TB?
Yes, it caused often just by a fall or something in those days. It wasn't the same as lung TB, but they were very, very badly in a bad health, state of health. And I thought I must be very careful with these three girls, because when we were having days off, or we got dates, so we couldn't dancing. These girls, that was something they would never know. And I thought I got to be careful. But when I was on night duty on that ward, they used to call me across when I'd settled the other children and say, where are you going? Where are you going on your night off? Where are you going on your day? And what are you going to do? And are you getting having a date? And they seemed to want to know. And they even wanted to know what I was going to wear. Come and show us your dress. Bring it in when you come on duty tomorrow night. Show us what you wore. They seemed to want to live through what I was talking about. And they did die.
Was their condition related to the bombing in Hull?
No, but they just had to come away from it. These children were helpless, couldn't help themselves. They were brought away from it. Anyway, eventually they went back. Their parents came, or mothers or fathers, whichever could get, only about once a month. And they used to bring them what they could, say their own chocolate rations and stuff. Sweet rations and bring, and they wouldn't hand them in, push them into under the bed or whatever, under the pillow or whatever, or make the children eat a lot while I sat there. And we always knew that we were going to get a whole night of children being sick after that, because they used to give them all they could. Sad, really.
So they travelled from Halton as well?
Yes. Mm. They were brought. Obviously, transport put on for them.
Mm. You mean buses?
Yes. Mm. And then I was moved from there. Now, this wasn't at my asking, because that was turned over, and those huts were turned over. I'm not sure if some of the forces didn't come in those, because the children went back. The bombing eased. And I'm now talking about 1943 time, about that time. And those children did go, the ones who were still alive went back. And those of us there we were all civil nursing reserve there, working there. We were then sent to what had been the old workhouse at Knaresborough. It still was then, because there's still a section of it left as a workhouse and old people, destitute old people who were very ill. Children were local from Leeds Harrogate and area, were being nursed there with the. We had a lot of celiac cases, with hydrocephalus cases, with very, very ill children there. And we had a section of a nursery section where children were under five or were being looked after as workhouse children, and their mothers, who were the named and shamed at the time, were working as domestics in the workhouse, earning nothing but their keep. And these children were being brought up by the authority. And some of them hadn't got mothers working there. Some of them had been abandoned on doorsteps, found somewhere. And that was very sad work. Those children didn't have any sweet ration. They didn't have any clothes, only hospital clothes, which was, were like all the same, clothes that didn't even fit them. They had no toys, no books, nothing when I went there. And I asked if I could go on there because I was interested with these children. We had 20. And there were only two of us to look after them in the daytime and one at night. And I knew one or two nurses who were still in private service as nannies, and perhaps their mothers were gone on to war work and enabled them to keep these girls there. But anyway, their ladies they worked for used to let me have some clothes, and I was able to rig these children out. Not looking alike, looking different, all having clothes that fitted them, and all having their own clothes on the next day, because that hadn't been happening. They'd had, when they were bathed to put to bed at night, the clothes had been folded, put in a pile, and the next morning they were just dressed in anything that anybody had had, another child had on the day before. Anyway, we managed to sort that out. We had to be careful about laundry and do a lot of washing through ourselves in order to keep the children in their own, the clothes that we begged for them. And we managed to beg for toys and books as well, and crayons and something for them to do. And I was quite a while there.
So these were children, illegitimate children, were they?
Yes, and whose mothers had been forced to come to the workhouse because they had nowhere to go, nowhere to live.
Why had they nowhere to go?
They were shamed. They were named and shamed. And if they got parents, their parents would throw them out. I worked with a girl when I'm going back now to when I was at Armley, where I worked with a girl who was joined us as a probationer nurse, and I got to know from her that she, her mother had left her as a baby with her father, and he brought her up. Well, now later, when I was at the Luton and Dunstable Hospital, that girl wrote to me and said she had been taken advantage of by an airman at a party. She was pregnant. Her father had thrown her out and said she was just like her mother. And she had gone to live with somebody, and they used to just steal cabbage and potatoes from the allotments to eat. And she came down to Luton whilst I was there, after the birth of the child, which she had adopted. And she came, and she had to go into digs while she looked for a job. And eventually she got a job as a conductress on on the Green Line, I think it was, the London route from Luton. And of course, I had to help her out a bit with her first week's rent, because even when she got the job, she didn't get the first week. They held it back, and she didn't get paid till the second week. And she had no money for food, and I was on night duty, and I didn't think it was shocking, but I still felt guilty. I felt I was doing the wrong thing legally. But I had to bread and marge the slices of bread for the breakfast on the ward, general ward, I mean, back in Luton and Dunstable. And that's all we did. We made a whole piles of plates of bread and butter for breakfast. And in the cupboard were such things as bovril for drinks. And so I used to put a bit of this bovril on a few rounds of this bread and take it to her, and it's all she had. Before she got the job, she asked me to write her a reference. Well, I didn't tell any lies. I just said I'd worked with her. And she was honest, clean, a bright girl. And I thought she'd be good at the job she was applying for. And I just said who I was and where I worked. And she got the job. So I don't know whether I did. It bothered me because I thought I don't like doing this sort of thing, but the girl was in desperate straits.
What job did she get?
Conductress on the Green Line route from Luton to London.
And how had she come into this plight?
She had been, after she trained at the Wither Infants Hospital, I always parted, you see, after that, and I kept in touch with her because I got very friendly with her during that time, she'd been to stay with me on my day off at my parents' home. My father was at that time in his wheelchair, and after that I wasn't sure what happened, but she'd been to a party with these airmen somewhere in Leeds, and they'd had drinks there, and she didn't remember much about it, except he took her into this bedroom, and she found herself pregnant. And she guessed who it was, because she'd been with this boy having drinks at this party. And that's how that all happened after that. And so she eventually she got married and had another child. And I visited her in her home where she was living in Luton. She stayed in that area. But I don't know, after I moved away, I lost touch with her.
And so coming back to Knaresborough, you had a variety of patients there. You had the TB orthopaedic children.
No, they went back to Hull. We didn't get any more of those children. We had children locally from Leeds and Knaresborough and Harrogate area who were very sick children. We had celiac cases, very young children, and we had hydrocephalus cases where they get the big head, water on the brain, and they were going to die. Nothing could be done much in those days. And general, more like the Leeds children I'd had before, malnutrition and the TB and the things of the day. And that's when we were moved around from ward to ward by the matron. The matron was in charge, and her husband, because they were still the ones who were there when it was all workhouse. And there's another story there, because it was years afterwards I heard the end of this particular story. We got very poor rations. The children I looked after got very poor rations and no sweet rations, as I've already said about their conditions. And the matron and her husband did the clerical work, and she was not a state registered nurse. She'd been just there to look after as matron of the workhouse. And the conditions for the nurses there were very bad. We had very bad food and very little of it. Well, I wanted to make a complaint about the children and about the nurses' conditions, and you couldn't get anywhere. I could only make a complaint to the one above me, and that was the sister in charge of the sick children or whatever. And she wouldn't listen. I went further than that with a colleague. And we went to Leeds because there was a regional officer there, who was a very important person, a lady. And she was horrified that we would dare to go to her, and why hadn't we gone to the sister? She said she couldn't get anywhere, wouldn't listen. And we knew we'd no right to go to the matron. So we were made.